Pastor Matt and Amanda and this band. You guys do a great job. Brother David, I don't ever pick on you hardly, but I really enjoyed that bass part tonight on one of those songs. That was so good. That was really good. I want to welcome you tonight to the altar, a place of God's transforming grace, and I'm so glad that we have the privilege of being here together in service tonight. And what a beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with. This weather is just incredible, isn't it? I want to welcome those that are here on campus, and I want to welcome those that are watching a live stream tonight. We pray that God's Spirit and His presence will be real and rich and deep and will just pull you close into His heart. I often think about how easy it is to go through the motions in life and everything that we do without really being present. So I pray, Lord, please help me be present to You tonight. We ask You to be present for us, but I want to be present to You. If You have something You want me to hear, then please speak to me and let me not miss it. How many of you want to hear what God has to say to you? We don't want to just go through the motions. And I want to be present for you too. There's so much going on in a worship service that I get distracted sometimes. But my real love besides Christ is You. When I fell in love with Jesus, I fell in love with His bride. With His church. There's something special, folks, about being a member of this body of Christ. It really is. It's not a club you sign up for. It's a family you're born into. You know what I'm saying? Spiritually. So you can be any color or any denomination or any type. You can even be mixed up. And God says, I'm going to place you in My family and I'm going to give you a new heart and a new life. And sometimes we forget the power that's in the gospel because we're so interested and busy going through all the motions that we just forget to say, Lord, thank You that You've made me a new creation in Christ. What a miracle that is to be made new inside and out. And God's still working in your heart. And I'm just so glad you're here tonight. Raise both hands if you say, I'm going to go ahead and just say I'm glad to be here too. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to preach a message tonight. We are on a series, and I hope that you'll tune in tomorrow for Pastor Shane as we continue in a series on the book of Colossians. But I haven't been preaching on Sunday mornings, and the Lord just sort of has been guiding me week by week. And I just want to give you what He's put in my heart tonight. It's not on the book of Colossians. It's on Psalm 1, Psalm 1, 1 through 6. And I want you to turn with me to that passage. You'll see the words of it on the screen. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Somebody called me the other day and said, what Bible is the best one? Which translation is the best one? And I said, you know, I'm not a Bible scholar. I said, I would get one that I could read. Get one you can understand. There's a lot of good ones out there. But the main thing is the Holy Spirit will help you understand the Word if you're in it regularly. God illuminates your understanding. He enlightens your mind. He opens your heart. But the main thing is that you're in the Word because that's how the Word gets into you. Amen? And the Lord is right there with you. This book is the only book that I know of whose author can be present to you every time when you read it. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? The author is here with you. So I want to begin with Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6. Just hope you found that. I do want to give you an announcement. This sounds a bit self-serving in a way, but I need your help next Saturday night. My longtime friend, an African-American pastor, Dr. Zaudi Abiade, and his wife Nancy, are going to be with us at this service only, the altar. I can't think of a better place in the entire world that I could honor my friend next week than right here on Saturday night. And I'm asking that you come next week. And I'm asking that you come early. They're coming from Michigan next week. They have no idea that we're going to honor them next Saturday night. It's going to be a surprise party. How many of you like surprises? We're going to create a tunnel of love from the parking lot. I need at least 100, 120 people here. We're going to create a tunnel of love all the way into this worship space. The music's going to be going on when they get here, and they're going to be loved all the way down that tunnel of love, and then we'll turn and come to our seats. We're going to have special pictures, special music, a special message, special prayers of honor and recognition to the Lord and to my dear friend. And I need your help if this is going to work and for them to have the impact that it will have as they move into the next season of their ministry and life. So I hope you'll be able to come next week. How many of you will consider it? Bring somebody with you. I will say this, we're a church that's accepting of people. Dr. Abiade and his wife Nancy have been married for over 45 years. They're an interracial couple, and they were doing it before it was cool. God brought them together. They have an incredible witness and testimony. You will not want to miss next week as we honor one of God's special servants. Beginning with verse 1. Blessed is the man. Please know that that means the woman too. Blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, her delight, is in the law of the Lord. And in God's law, he or she meditates day and night. He or she shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he or she does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Lord, I thank you for your word tonight that's eternal. It's everlasting. It's enduring. Lord, it's encouraging. And every time we put ourselves under that word and submit ourselves to your word, Lord, it's like we blossom with a new beginning. And I pray tonight that there be a lot of lives that will feel like they're beginning again in a good way. Let the freshness of your Holy Spirit be among us. Speak to each heart individually and speak to us as your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first word we come to in this text, what is it?
Blessed.
Some folks say blessed. Blessed or blessed. God desires to bless his people. He desires to give us a happy, abundant, joyful, fulfilled, overflowing life. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Doesn't that sound wonderful?
Yes.
An overflowing life. We don't always experience that, so depending on where you are, depending on how empty or full you are, that's really good news if you're kind of empty. If you got it, how many of you drive on empty? You don't drive on empty? That's just Brother Chris's wife that drives on empty. She said, honey, we got 4 more miles. I don't know why you're nervous. I said, I'm beyond nervous. Pull over. There's got to be a Costco here somewhere. God wants us to live that happy, joyful, fulfilled, overflowing life, and it is his wonderful promise. Because he loves us, he wants us to be the recipients of his blessings, and he also wants us to be the channels of his blessing to others. We can't be a channel unless we're first a recipient. God has to fill us up before we can overflow, right? Before we can bless others, we have to experience the blessing of God ourselves. And then we become a channel of everything that God has. He pours through us. My dad always, after he got saved, he said, "Chris, I feel like an old hose pipe. Just an old hose that God's water is flowing through." And that's the way we ought to feel. I'm just an old hose pipe. God, flow through me, because I want to be a channel or an instrument of your blessing. That living, cool water that just flows into me from your Holy Spirit and out of me. So I want to talk tonight, because God wants us to be recipients and channels, about the blessed life. The blessed life. I don't know about you. I'm sure you feel very similar to me tonight, but God has blessed me beyond description. And I'm not talking about just stuff. God's blessed me with stuff too. God has used this last 9 years in so many ways of my life at Christ Church to restore me in so many ways. There's so much behind that comment that you cannot imagine. I don't want to share all that with you tonight. But once again, I find myself at a place of needing a new beginning. And God's really been dealing with my heart about this promise and this blessing of a blessed life. I thank God for His blessings. I thank Him for the blessings, great and small. But even with all of God's blessings, there are times that I am realizing that I simply do not live the blessed life. There are times that I am not living into the blessings that God has for me. That I'm not always happy and overflowing and fulfilled. So the psalmist brings us again to that place of discovery in Psalm 1, where we began to say, "Lord, what is the blessed life? What does it really look like to be blessed by you?" 4 years ago, this July, we bought an older house that we've worked really hard to fix up. It's not complete. How many of you have a house that's a lifetime project, a lot like yourself? We've made progress, though, and I thank the Lord for that. The house came with a really old swimming pool. I felt a bit like the Beverly Hillbillies when we moved in it. I never had a concrete pond in the back before. I had three kids that were full of energy. And I thought, boy, this is just going to entertain them so much. I had no idea how much it cost to keep one. And I had no idea how many problems we would have with that swimming pool. If I had it to do again, I wouldn't buy it. But it's needed a lot of work for a long time, and we've postponed that the 4 years we've been there. And this week, the pool company, and after all the water got out of there, literally, it looked like the liner was just about to fall into the swimming pool. They said that the winter storm was the culprit. All that ice and all that snow and all that saturation in the ground just pulled the sides of that liner right off the pool. As I watched the water level go down, the Lord began to speak to my heart. Here's what he said. He said, "Chris, you are drained." That's what he said. "You are drained." The sound that you hear from the water level going down and that water being sucked out of the pool is also a bit what you're experiencing in your own soul at times. As we begin our 10th year at Christ Church on May the 12th, I've been reflecting on how overextended I have allowed my life to get at times, how I live over my head, how sometimes I'm shallow, stale, and sluggish, and how I push on, and I often live and try to lead on empty. I ask how many of you drive on empty. This is even more personal. How many of you try to live on empty? Lead on empty, just pushing forward. Guess there's something commendable. I thank God that we don't have to go by our feelings every day. You have days when you wake up that you think the day is not going to happen if I'm the one that has to do it. Some days that's the way it is. And I thank God for the ability to push on, but there comes a time in your life where you just feel like you've come to a complete stop, and God says you really need to pay attention to the way you feel right now. That's one time that you need to get have an awareness of where you are in your life. And that's what God is giving me. This is not a complaint. This is an effort at being transparent, because I want to tell you that there's a whole lot more available that I'm going to get to in just a minute. But all the sermons, all the funerals, all the weddings, all the counseling sessions, the endless meetings, a cacophony of constant conflict and complaint, topped off by a year of pandemic, a world of chaos, a growing family with many responsibilities, and dealing with my own human heart, my own background, I become like a floating liner that's lost its grip. So I just want to end this part by confessing to you that I often struggle to live the life I preach. That was hard to say, but it's true. And I hope that that doesn't disappoint you or disillusion you. What I hope it does is give you permission as a child of God to confess where you are in your life at different times. Most of us have had families, thank God, that have invested a lot in us. How many of you give thanks for that? Most of us know the valley of the shadow of death, and we know what it is to struggle in so many different ways. We also know what it's like to be tempted to quit but not really want to quit because you want to be faithful to God. But I'm just trying to tell you that every day is not a happy day. Every day is not an overflowing, fulfilled, joyful day. Every day we don't really embrace the blessed life, do we? Because we are struggling sometimes. And I think one of the greatest things we can do is come to God just as we are and not as we ought to be. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is telling God what is in you, not what ought to be in you. God already knows what is in us. And what He wants is that loving, trusting relationship where we go like a child of God who's bruised. And I'm going to tell you, if there's one year in our lives, and there's maybe probably many depending on who you are, if there's one year that could have done that, it's this year. The fear, the struggle, the constant uncertainty. Many of you have lost loved ones. You've lost people that you've done life with. You know, we do such a good job in the church of trying to pump people up. I know it doesn't look like it. Y'all don't look that happy much of the time. But that's our goal. You know, you come in and you try to get everybody excited. And one thing we don't do very well with is lamentations. We don't give people a chance to cry in church. We're too busy pumping them up. But I'm going to tell you, if your shout ever comes out, it will come out because you have lamented before God in His presence, and you've laid on your face and you've cried and you've been honest with God, and you've told Him that you're drained and that you know that He's the only filling that there really is. And I'm going to tell you, there's something about our honest, transparent, authentic prayers that gets God's attention. And we really become a prime and ripe for God to fill again. You know what I cannot wait to see? I can't wait for that new liner to go in that swimming pool. And I can't wait to fill that pool again. I'm not looking forward to the MLGW bill. But I am looking forward to that clean, fresh water going in that pool and then taking a nasty plunge right in the middle of that water. Some of you need an ST plunge right now. You really do. You're all wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in yourself and in your circumstances. And the enemy has sought to do what Jesus said he would do. It's to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he's trying his best to destroy marriages and ministries. He's trying his best to destroy people's faith. How many of you know that this is prime time for the church to be real? It's prime time. We don't have to be something we're not. We can be who we are. We can be a saved, blessed people, bought by the blood of Jesus, filled by the Spirit of God, and yet we can come into His presence and say, God, I'm not living the blessed life right now. Inside, I know my heart condition. I know my body is weary. My spirit is tired. And Lord, I know You've got more for me. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? That's just the introduction. I'm kidding. I just didn't know what to say, so I threw that in. Standing by that pool and watching that water level drop, the Spirit of God whispered loudly to me. There was no voice, but it was a whisper of God's Spirit. And He said, Chris, I have so much for you, much more for you, and I have so much more for every child of God. And to me, that is good news for you tonight and for me. I'm looking forward to the next 10 years with Christ Church being as real and transparent. I don't know that I'll even study half as much, but I'm going to pray twice as much. Because there's one thing that the people of God need more than we've ever needed it before, and it's a clear, powerful, helpful, practical word of God into every one of our lives. The psalmist tells us there's certain conditions for experiencing the blessed life, and I want to share those conditions with you in three words. The first is the word separated. First, we must be separated from the world. We live in a worldly world, don't we? A worldly world that we're easily and negatively influenced by until we become more like the world and less like God. I want you to remember just a little church history. Israel was called to be a unique and a separate people. They were among the other nations, but not to be contaminated by the other nations. They were set apart for God, and God had one word that described His people, that His calling, holy. He said, "Be ye holy as I am holy." And that's the same word that He has for His people today. The Bible says in 1 John, we are in the world, but not of the world. How many of you know that we can be in the world, but we're not to be contaminated or polluted by the world? We are not of the world. We do not have the same spirit that the world has. When we're born again, when we're born from above, God puts His Spirit in us, and we do march to the beat of a different drummer. Somebody say amen. And sometimes we forget that because we're so easily and negatively influenced by this worldly world that almost imperceptibly we become like the world without even noticing it. The psalmist paints that picture of this gradual decline of sin when he says the sinner first walks, then stands, and then sits. We become gradually more like the world if we're not really in tune with God and saying, Lord, I want to be somebody that's set apart for the purposes of God. I want to be separate. I want Your Spirit to reign in my life and come out in my actions and in my thinking and in my feeling and in my behaving. I want to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Apostle Paul said that to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You're talking about the blessed life. There's no way to really live the blessed life. I'm not talking about the accumulation of things, but I'm talking about walking in the Spirit of God. There's no way for that to happen and us be like the world. We can't be worldly and really enjoy the blessed life. You say, what is worldly? It's anything that causes us to disobey God, and anything that separates us from God can be classified as worldly. Paul said to Timothy, God has saved his people and called them to a holy life. That gradual decline, I want you to think about it. It looks like this. We make friends with the world. We become spotted by the world. We start loving the world. We become conformed to the world. In other words, we begin to be shaped and formed, squeezed into the world's mold, how the world thinks and acts, and the goals that the world has, they begin to become ours more than the desire in our hearts to be a distinctive people of God that's shaped by His Spirit. You see how imperceptive that is and how subtle that is, how the world just tries to squeeze us into the way that it does things. And I thank the Lord for His Holy Spirit who lives in our hearts, because often the Holy Spirit will say, you are really not living that blessed life because you're not separate. You haven't been set apart from me in the way that you're living right now. Y'all do understand that there's a direct connection between how we live and being the people of God, right? How we live matters. Y'all could help me tonight. We could have revival if y'all were half as excited as I am. Amen? Let me give you an example. How many of you remember Lot, Abraham's nephew, in Genesis? What a great example of this gradual decline. How he became worldly gradually. The Bible says he looked towards Sodom. How many of you know that's the first problem, is when we begin to look at things that God has said don't look at. Don't entertain those things because they'll lead you down a road of destruction. Lot looked towards Sodom. And then the Bible says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. In other words, he decided that's where he was going to head. And then it says next, then he lived or settled in Sodom. He decided that it's not enough just to look at it, not enough to just move in that direction. I'm going to go ahead and pitch my tent and settle there. Then the Bible says, then he lost everything and ended up in sin. It's a gradual, slow fade. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I have an image in my mind right now about 15 years ago, I had a little old car that it was a straight shift, and it was prone to kick out of gear and roll. And I remember parking on my grandparents' hill, and they had a pond about 100 feet below that hill. And I pulled up there, and I forgot to put the emergency brake on. And after eating a fabulous meal that my grandmother cooked, I looked out her breezeway door, and I thought, my car is not where I parked it. It's not there. And I looked down, and it had rolled about 99 feet and stopped 1 foot short of that pond. Somebody say hallelujah for near misses. Near misses. I want to say something. It's never too late to be separate for God. Some of us have drifted, we've backslid, we've rolled backwards, and we are almost in a place of destruction. And it's the Holy Spirit that says, I've got you, but I want you to turn with all of your heart towards me. I want you to begin to look towards me and not the things of the world. I want you to recognize sin and temptation for what it is, and I want you to run towards me with all of your heart. If there's anything in your life that is not condoned or blessed by me, I want you to get rid of it. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, revival comes to a people who are hungry for God to move. And sometimes it's our sin and our lack of wanting to deal with it that blocks what God wants to do. And God says, I'm looking for a holy people. Bo said it earlier, it's not a perfect people, but it's a people who are willing to lay their sin at the altar of God in their temptation and their struggles and the human condition. We lay it at the altar of God and we groan to be more like God through Jesus Christ, not our human efforts. But there is some effort. Sometimes you just have to say no. Somebody say no. Sometimes we need to say no to the devil like we mean it. Amen? He knows if we mean it or not. Most of us have fallen over the same trap 1,000 times. So he doesn't even have to do any work. Some of you are so close to the edge of that pond, you need to pull up that emergency brake and you need to sit there and pray for a minute. Say, God, I don't want to go all the way to the direction I'm headed. But I want to be yours again. I wasn't planning on saying all that. Gradually, the church has become a fellowship of consumers rather than a family of the committed. And this must change. Folks, we better be more than consumers. Consumerism will never save a human heart. You might get what you want and still not be changed. What we need to be praying as the church is, God, give us what we need. Give us what we need because we're bankrupt without you. Give us what we need. Even if it hurts, confront us where we need to be confronted and change our hearts from the inside out. There must be a burning desire in us for a holy, obedient life. Is this your heart's desire? Is it your prayer to say, oh Lord, I don't want to be a worldly man. I don't want to be a worldly woman. Here's the positive side of it. Just picture yourself before the Lord saying, Lord, I want to be a heavenly man. I want to be a heavenly man. I want to be a heavenly woman. I already have my citizenship in heaven, and I'm just settling here for a little while. But I want my heart, I want you to be the object of my affection and my attention. So becoming separated from the world is the first part of a blessed life and being set apart to God. The second word after separated is saturated. Saturated. I love that word. And it's all over verse 2. We must be saturated with the Word of God. The psalmist uses the words delight in the Lord and meditate on His Word as conditions for the blessed life. The blessed life just doesn't happen. It happens as we arrange our whole life. Our whole life with the Lord and His Word. The goal is for God to become the object of our affection and attention and what He says to become our heart's desire. When we meditate on the Word, chew on, think over, ponder, prayerfully, reading slowly the Word of God like a cow that was chewing its cud, we allow the Spirit of God within us to digest the Word and to bring us spiritual nourishment to our hungry, starving hearts. God has so much more that He wants to share with us from His Word. I believe that as wonderful as this Word is, that it can even be more wonderful as we submit ourselves to it, and God can speak His eternal Word to us in a way that meets us right where we are in life. God knows everything, and He knows how to apply and direct that Word that we need to Him, and He will do that if we are in His Word. God wants us to be saturated with the Word. I love this illustration. One of the greatest inventions ever is a soaker hose. Don't you love a soaker hose? Don't you know your shrubs and your flower beds love a soaker hose? That the porous material that those soaker hoses are made with, those little pin-eyed openings, allow the water to go in and literally saturate the base of those flowers and those shrubs. And that's where the water is needed the most. It's at the roots. It's at the base of those plants. There's too much dryness these days because there isn't enough soaking in the Word. And in prayer, people come to me all the time and just say, I don't know enough, Brother Chris. I didn't go to seminary. Sometimes I want to just say, well, you need to thank God for that. You talking about drier and deader than last year's bird's nest. That's not true in every case. I thank God for the experience that I had, for most of the experiences that I had. But I'm telling you, folks, you don't just need more information. I believe in study. We are to study. But what we need is an experience with God. We need to take what we do know, and we need to say, God, would you put this in my heart until it burns, until this makes a difference in the way that I live, in the way that I move, in the way that I love. We need to get with God in His Word. I love two examples of that. Sigurd Olsen built a small cabin on the banks of a lake, and this is why he did it. It was a small lake in northern Minnesota. And he said, I built that small cabin in order to hear all that was worth listening for. I love that. And he called that little cabin the listening point. That's all he did, was go there to listen to God in His Word, to soak and to saturate himself in the Word and to listen for all that was worth listening for. And I love the story of Susanna Wesley, John Wesley's mother, who raised 17 children in a very small home. How many of you know there wouldn't be much solitude with 17 children? My mother just had three, and the only place she could find any solitude was the throne, the bathroom, the commode. She'd go in there and lock that thing and just huddle around that commode. Just say, God, thank you for a moment with you. John Wesley's mother, she didn't call hers a listening point. She had a whispering spot where she just talked to Jesus. In that little house, there was nowhere to go, so she put a rocking chair right in the middle of that little house, and every time she threw her blanket over her head, her children would know that Mom was talking to Jesus. And that became her whispering spot where she talked to God. And God talked to her. How many of you know you'd need some special words from God to raise 17 children? I just want to say this as we think about meditation. Media gets more of our attention than meditation. Media. I think we're living in a day, and I'm not a legalist. I'm not telling you to sell all your TVs, but I would say lay down your phones. Turn off your big screen TVs more. Flee from the noise of the world and its endless efforts to entertain us while leaving us empty. We are the most entertained culture of people who's ever lived, and we are probably as empty as any culture that's ever lived. Because media gets our attention rather than meditation. What we need to do is turn that off and tune into God's Word and His voice and enjoy His presence and rest in His love again. And we need to take time to be holy. I love that old hymn, "Take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His Word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing His blessing to seek. Take time to be holy as the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct, His likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Last thing I want to say about saturation is be like a tea bag steeped in God's Word in His presence. You know, if you just dip a tea bag in hot water and you take it right out, how many of you know there won't be a lot of tea in the water? How many of you know to get the full color and the full flavor, you got to steep it? Somebody say, steep it. I feel like that would have been a good line for Barney Fife. Steep it. We've got to steep in the water of His love and of His presence And when our lives are steeped in Him, then we will think and act and feel and live more like Him. Donald Whitney says, meditation on Scripture is letting the Bible brew in your brain. And that's what we need to do. Becoming separated from the world and set apart for God is the first thing for the blessed life. The second is be saturated with the Word. The last is situated. And this is in verse 3. We must be situated or planted by the rivers of water. It's God's desire for us to be like trees. To be like trees. With deep root systems that go deep into the spiritual resources of God's grace. That's exactly what the Word says. He shall be or she shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Our lives are to be so deeply rooted in the spiritual resources of God's grace that God lives through us. But sadly, that can't happen because many of us are not like trees, but we're like artificial plants or cut flowers with no roots. Elton Trueblood, the great spirit-filled Quaker, said this in his work, A Place to Stand, as he addressed the moral crisis of his nation. And this was in 1969. He says, the terrible danger of our time consists in the fact that ours is a cut flower civilization. Beautiful as cut flowers may be, and as much as we use our ingenuity to keep them looking fresh for a while, they eventually die. And they die because they're severed from their sustaining roots. Folks, it doesn't matter. I thank God for what we know. But it's what we're living, it's who we are connected to that keeps us alive. You understand that? You can have a base of knowledge that's just sitting there, but our connection to God through Jesus Christ and being situated or planted in Him by the rivers of living water, that's what really causes us to experience the life that we long for, that the psalmist says, this is the blessed life. It's the life that's separated from the world and saturated with the Word of God and situated or planted by the rivers of water that God provides in our lives. As I came to this verse 3, and I'm finishing up, Brother Bo, why don't you come on up? I know you can't believe it. As I came to this verse, I couldn't help but think about my grandpa's, great-grandpa's spring. My great-grandfather was George K. Stoner, born December 18th, 1886, the same year Ty Cobb was born. I love Ty Cobb, that good lefty. My great-grandfather was uneducated but brilliant. He built his little four-room house right next to a spring. I used to love to walk down there or by that spring when I was little and would walk over his land. He built it by a spring because it was a great place for refrigeration. That was all they had for refrigeration. The milk that they got out of the cow, they'd put in a bucket and they'd put it right down in the middle of the spring so that it would stay cool. He built it there not just because of that, but how many of you know running water wasn't very popular back then? In fact, they didn't have indoor plumbing and didn't have a commode at all. That's another discussion. They didn't have running water. So he built it there because they could not only get a bath in the spring at least twice a year, but they were able to get clean drinking water. And everything that they needed water for was of easy access because the house was right there by the spring. And I remember as a little kid, and I can still see it, all those big flowers and those big shrubs and those big trees that were planted alongside that big spring. They had a constant source of living water, and their roots ran so deep. They were always vibrant with color and vibrant with foliage. provided shade because they didn't have air conditioner either. How many of you know God is the best inventor of good things? God's provided in every way for us. How's your root system? You feel like an artificial plant or a cut flower, or do you say, Lord, I want to be so deeply planted in the soil of your grace that nothing can kill me or stop me because you are my connection to life. I am alive because you live in me and you've given me a new life. And I thank you, Lord, that I may get dry and I may get empty, but every time I come to you just as your child and say, Lord, I'm drained, you just say to me, I've got so much more for you. Just sit with me for a while and let me fill you back up again. In so many ways, I want to end here. I feel God is calling me to a new beginning, to the blessed life that is really about finding and minding my friendship with God again. That's really what the Psalms is all about, is intimacy with God. Finding and minding our friendship with God, and in some ways, mending that friendship with God by putting Him first again. I don't know where you are tonight. All I could tell you is what was in my heart tonight. But I pray that you will be so open with the Lord. He loves you so much. And I don't want that to just be a trite, empty expression. But folks, God wants you to live and lead and experience the blessed life. And He wants that for our congregation. I'm telling you, I just believe a time is coming, and God is waiting on us. He's waiting on us for us to call out to God and say, Lord, we want your house to be a place of living water. We want people to feel and know and experience the presence of your love and spirit and grace in such a way that they can't help but surrender their lives to you every time they walk into your presence. So I want you just to cross yourself, if you would, and just say, Lord, I want to give you just a few moments to tell God where you are and about your root system. Just talk with Him for just a minute, and then I want to lead us in a brief prayer. Where are you? How are you doing with separation, saturation, and situation? Where are you situated or planted tonight? Let's just take some time to be holy right now before the Lord. Father, I thank you and praise you tonight. I pray that right now as we are in your presence together, that many will begin the reconnecting process, that their hearts will literally begin to feel reconnected to you. Do your work in each one of us, Holy Spirit, and help us cooperate and respond to your word. Make us a holy people, Lord, hungry more for you than the things of the world. And Lord, help us get so deeply planted in you and the things of God by your Spirit. Nothing could take the blessed life from us. We thank you and praise you. God, I pray for the person who feels like they need you the most tonight. They've cried so many tears, maybe over the condition of their heart or over their circumstances. Would you just begin to fill up again their drained heart with your living water? Show them how to live and how to walk and how to navigate this season in their lives. We give you praise and thanks, Lord.